Together this morning, and as we just sang that last song, just over and over, just being reminded of how, in the midst of this life that we have, especially in this season, in a lot of ways, that we can say that with certainty and with great confidence that all is well in our souls. And the reality I know for us in our lives is that there is plenty of stuff that can cause us to be troubled and anxious and stressed out and discouraged and all of that, because life is hard. And all over the world, there is hard things going on. I know just the past week or so, a number of us have been, and our church has been partnered up with a church in Puerto Cortez, Honduras. And as you know, there was this hurricane that went through, Hurricane Ida. And they're getting ready for another storm to come through here in the next day or so, I believe. And just sent pictures of all the flooding and the devastation that was left in the wake of that. Scott? Yeah, we were just there, and there's just a lot of devastation and destruction left in the wake of the last storm, and another one's coming. And so there are hard things going on, and so I just want to ask you to be praying for them, Pastor Janiria and the church there. Would really appreciate your prayers in that whole community and country in Central America. And so all over the world, there is suffering and pain, and in our country and communities and families, there is much also going on that is just reason for anxiousness and being troubled. And I don't know if you've ever felt like you've, maybe even for doing the right thing, have faced some kind of suffering or hardship in your own life. And the question is, how do you handle it? And as we've been journeying through 1 Peter and Peter's letter to the churches in Asia Minor, what is modern-day Turkey, we've been coming at this letter and just finding encouragement in it in so many ways, because those believers there were facing some really hard times. And what he has to say to them is so applicable in many ways to us. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to be starting at verse 13 and continuing our journey through 1 Peter. But as we turn here to this passage this morning, there's all kinds of suffering. There are hard times that we face in our lives, and specifically here, Peter is looking and he's addressing this situation whenever things get hard for doing good, when these believers are doing the right things, but yet they're facing suffering and hardship in their lives. How do you handle that? And so let's read this together, what Peter has to say. He says, "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you not as removal of dirt for the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we turn to your word, now, Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts. May we be receptive and open to hearing what it is that you have to say to us. Lord, thank you for being a God who isn't desiring to have a relationship with us, but that you are a God who does, and a God who leads and guides us and speaks to us. And so right now, Lord, through your word, would you speak to us? In your name we pray. Amen. So we're continuing our study through here. These believers are facing some difficult days, hard days. And he continues on with what we looked at last week, when he's wrapping up the section and what he has just encouraged his brothers and sisters in regards to how they should conduct themselves, in regards to what submission looks like in all number of arenas in their lives. If you look back up in chapter 2 and starting at verse 12, he begins to lay it out as to, this is how I want to encourage you to conduct yourselves in a way that is honoring to the Lord, and especially in regards to submission. And what does that look like in submission to your governing authorities? And then he addresses situations like in the workplace, slaves with your masters. And then he addresses, what does that look like in a Christian's marriage, in the marriage relationship? And verse 8, he comes to this point where he says, finally, after all that's been said, all of you. And then what I have to say here, don't think that you get to skip out on this. This is for everybody from the youngest to the oldest. I want you to hear this. He says, this is how I want you to be with one another. I want to encourage you to be a blessing. Be a blessing to one another. We talked about that last week. I want you to be a blessing to those who are your enemies, to those who revile you, who are not nice to you, those ones who are hard to love. I want you to love them and be a blessing to them. And even in the midst of the hard things of life, I want you to know that you can know the blessed life even then. Because, verse 12, this is how we can know that we can experience the blessed life even in the midst of hardship. It's because our trust is in God. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Guys, he's watching over us. His ears are open to hearing our prayers, our cries, and he'll do what is right in regards to those who do evil. And so we can trust him even in the suffering. And so this morning, in the brief amount of time that we have, Peter continues in this vein in regards to how we should approach suffering and hardship in our lives, when he focuses on a type of suffering that is going to be faced because they are believers. And he provides encouragement to them in how to approach and live in the face of such hostility. And so starting at verse 13, I just want to share a few encouragements and things that he says here really quickly. The first one is this. He says, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? He's saying, I want you to be zealous. I want you to be all about doing the good things, the right things. I want you to be passionate about doing what is right, what is good. May it be the driving force behind what you're about. In general, he's saying when you do the right thing, most likely you're not going to face this, but there are those times whenever you are going to face this. And he says that in verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. And he says, well, that's most of the time, that's not generally how it works. If you do the right thing, life generally goes better. But even if it doesn't turn out that way. Remember, he's writing to these believers who are facing plenty of these kinds of experiences. And as history will show, it's going to get even worse for them under the reign of Emperor Nero. It is going to be bad. And so he's preparing them for what's going to be coming. He's saying, don't be surprised that there's going to be hard days coming for those who follow after Jesus. It's going to come. Remember what Jesus said. He said, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you, John 15:20. In John 16:33, Jesus also said this. He says, in this world, you're going to have what? Trouble, tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's the great promise there. And so if you find yourselves facing this type of suffering, he says, see it as an opportunity for blessing. It's so different than how we tend to look at the hard things in our lives, the things that don't go the way that we had hoped or wanted, when they play out all the different. Because oftentimes our response is often discouragement, frustration, anger. But here Peter is saying that when this happens for righteousness' sake, see it as an opportunity for blessing. I remember years ago when I was visiting southern China, and we had made our way up into the country, and we visited this house church there, and it's not legal, it's illegal for them to proclaim the gospel, and to get to go to this house church and meet with the pastor, and just to hear him share about the numerous times that he had been thrown into prison, and it was just some hard stuff, numerous times, but yet, what was his response? It was a blessing to be able to go through that for the sake of Christ. You know, how often do we see the hard things that we face in our lives in that kind, from that perspective? Jesus, he says this in Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12, talk about the blessed life. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. But rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so let's be reminded of that perspective as we face hardship in our lives. And so he continues on. There's so much here in the face of hard things in our lives. He says, be zealous for doing good. Be passionate about that when we face those times. When we face those things, don't be surprised by them. See them as an opportunity for blessing. And now he says, don't fear. Don't be troubled. And how is it that he can say this to them and to us? In difficult days, isn't that one of the main things that we battle, whether it's in life in general or if it is in regards to that which is for our faith? It's the uncertainty of what is to come that can cause fear. It can cause anxiety. It can cause stress and worry and concern. But look what he says. How do we handle that? How do we deal with it? We could look a number of places throughout Scripture, but it just in verse 15, as he lays out his thought process here and his encouragement, but in your hearts, do this. Honor Christ the Lord as holy. He says, focus your hearts on Jesus. Where's your hearts? This week as I was spending time just picking some of the songs and As the Deer came to mind, and it was just like, that's where my heart needs to be. There, longing for and resting in him in the midst of whatever it is that we go through in life. Where's our heart finding its rest? What's our hearts focused on? What are we filling our hearts with? And here he's saying, but in your hearts, honor Christ. The Lord is holy. Know that you are under God's care and blessing. And we've got to remember this as believers. Paul's words to the church in Rome that bring us hope and confidence to us no matter what we're facing. Here's what he said, Romans 8:31. We know it. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Psalmist, he wrote this, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? We don't know exactly what the hostility is or the hardship that these believers are enduring and what they're going through right now. Maybe there was some kind of intimidation factor that they were dealing with, people trying to come at them. But in the face of that, the encouragement that Peter is giving is rest. Set your hearts on Jesus. Set your hearts on him and trust him to work in the midst of it and to provide for every one of their needs. Be mindful of these truths no matter what may come your way. And each week we're coming back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, which shape, which give us the perspective with which Peter is writing these encouragements, where he says, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Remember, that's the emphasis behind everything that Peter's writing here. It's like so that you can proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 12, so that they would see your good deeds and glorify God. There's this element of that we want to be a witness, that we want to share the good news of Jesus, that's why, even in the midst of hard things, to be mindful of that. And so he says the same thing here. He says, so always in the midst of this, these hard times, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for your hope. He keeps this before them. God has purpose in their suffering. And one of the main ways is that it would provide an opportunity by which they could give a reason for their hope in Christ. And then what does he say? We don't have time. We're running out of time. He goes in and he says, do it with gentleness and humility. How is it that we're going to come across in the midst of these times? May it not be one where we're just bashing, come across in a harsh way or an angry way, but may we come across with gentleness and humility. We're following Jesus' example in this. No more is there a fear of man, but there is a fear of the Lord. We're resting in him, and we have a readiness to, to share that. But not only is there gentleness, respect, but he's also saying here, have a good conscience of it in how you handle yourself, so that if people do come against you, that they have nothing to say. Watch your life. Over and over, Peter is calling followers of Jesus to be about doing good for the Lord's sake. He says, be zealous for doing good. Don't be surprised by hard things, suffering. See that as an opportunity for blessing. Be ready to be a witness for Christ. And let's do it with gentleness and respect. Maintain a good conscience. And then just real quickly, how is it that he can say all this? Why would we do all of this? It's because, what do we know about Peter? What was one of Peter's greatest probably regrets or failures? As Jesus is getting put on trial. Someone says, hey, you know this Jesus, right? Remember, Peter had spent all kinds of time with Jesus before this. He'd seen him do miracles. He'd seen him teach. He'd seen him do all kinds of things. And whenever it came to the moment there, whenever Jesus was about to be sent to the cross, someone comes up to him and says, hey, you're with that guy, right? You know Jesus. And he says, no, I don't know him. And here, Peter, that's who's writing this. He's writing to these believers who are going through hard things, and he's saying, don't give up, stand firm, don't do what I did. And things changed because Peter experienced something, right? He experienced the grace and the mercy of Jesus. He experienced what it meant for Jesus to reinstate him and say, I'm not done with you yet. I've got work for you to do. He experienced that, and he wasn't just here giving them some information, but he had experienced it deep in his soul. And he couldn't help but say, hey guys, let's keep going. It's worth it. It's worth it. And he goes on now. What's the reason, the motivation? Here as we look at this in verse 18, he's like, it's all because of Jesus. Look what he did. This is who he is. He says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, once and for all. It's done. It is all done. The righteous for the unrighteous. He talks about this great exchange that took place, that Jesus, the one who is without sin, came and he took our place. For people who have sinned and fallen short of his glory, that's you and me. Why? What's the purpose? Next phrase. So that he might bring us to God. That's why. It's because he loves us so much. It's because Jesus loves you. He loves the whole world. Because God loves us, that's why. And so he was put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. This is all grounded in the wonder of Christ's willingness to suffer death for our sake. It's all because of his mercy. It's because he wanted to bring us to God. We don't have time for the rest, so let's skip here to the last few verses. Look what our other hope is. He wants them to know and not miss the amazing and powerful truth that not only did Jesus die, but now he's alive. He's no longer in the grave. He's no longer on the cross, but he is alive, and there is victory in Jesus. And there he is. Where is he? Where's Jesus right now? He's there seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us. He's fighting for us. He's going to the Father for us. And he's been given all authority and power. Everything is subject to him. That's the one. He's saying, keep your eyes on him. He's your conquering king. He's the one who's going to carry you through the hard things. He's the one who's going to carry you through persecution and suffering. He's the one who's worthy of all your praise and devotion. He's the one who's worthy of your lives. He's the one who is sovereign. He's the one who's in control and working all things for their good and his glory. He's the one who has rescued them, and he's given them new life. And so, in the same manner, we're to follow after Jesus, walking with gentleness and humility and trusting in him, but all the same at the same time, being confident in the reality that we are also participants in Christ's resurrection victory. This morning, we get the opportunity here in the remaining moments to get to have the Montgomerys and the Huffmans come, and they're going to dedicate make some dedications here with their youngest ones. And just in preparation for that, in a way for us to remind ourselves of how God works, even in the midst of hard things. Not everybody gets to have a piece put on the news about them. And so the Huffmans did, though. And I figure we better use it and show it just as a testimony to God's grace and his goodness, even in the midst of some difficult kinds of things. So go ahead, Brent. Let's see.
Counting down the days until their baby arrives.
Our nursery is pretty well set up. We just have, you know, some things to hang on the wall.
Christy is 35 weeks pregnant. She's due December 12th, a date Christy and Brent weren't sure would ever happen.
She's wanted to be a mom her entire life, I think, you know, and us not being able to conceive for a long time has been a challenge.
The college sweethearts tied the knot September 2013. After a year of trying to conceive, Christy and Brent asked for help.
She had gone and seen some of our infertility specialists and had a pretty extensive evaluation. And it turned out that one of my blood works, I have like a low egg reserve left, so I don't know if I just didn't have that many from the beginning or I just didn't have many left, so the odds of getting pregnant were very, very slim, especially after trying for so long.
Trust in him at all times, oh people.
We both talked about adoption. There's three or four couples in our church alone that have adopted kids and are fostering kids and so forth.
Christy and Brent chose to pray about the situation. They became active in their church and went on mission trips. As the years passed, the dream of becoming pregnant began to fade. Until one day.
I was having some health concerns and was supposed to get an MRI. And they had called me to do the MRI, like screaming ahead of time, like, do you have any scrap metal in your body? Do you have this checklist that they have to ask you for health concerns? And one of them, is there any chance you could be pregnant? And I had to think about it and I was like, wait a minute. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not, it's coming.
Kelly didn't think it was necessary, but she took the test.
I took the test and it came up positive and I screamed. I just remember just being in shock.
She wakes me up screaming and I run in there and I'm a contact wearer, so I'm legally blind without my contacts and I couldn't see a thing.
He's like, what's going on? And I was like, We're pregnant. I think that's what I said. I don't really remember, but that we're pregnant.
And I take the little stick and I hold it up to my eyes and I'm squinting at it. And I don't think I cried, but I got pretty emotional. So
I still didn't believe it and proceeded to take two more, I think, that day. And then called the doctor's office. The first thing was to make sure that she was definitely pregnant. She, I think, was kind of doubting her home test. So we did do an in-office test, and we also got a blood test just to make 100% sure. And those were both positive.
The next step was an ultrasound.
Getting an ultrasound early in pregnancy really tells us when their due date's going to be, and that can be very important as it gets closer to delivery when we're making decisions about when someone should deliver and how long it's okay to let them, you know, stay pregnant. And so here we have the inside of the uterus, and you see right there we have the baby. All you can see is this, like, basically little, like, jelly bean in there, but you can still see, like, a flicker of a heartbeat, which was just, seeing that was just incredible. And I remember looking over at my husband, and, like, his eyes are just welled with tears.
Brent still gets emotional when talking about the first ultrasound.
Aha, that was pretty cool. Crying, Jesus. It becomes real for you. You're like, holy cow, there's a baby in there, you know?
I mean, I imagined all these things and how amazing and how beautiful it would be, but you just can't fathom it until you're going through it. Most women will also get an ultrasound around 20 to 22 weeks, and that ultrasound looks at all the different parts of the baby. And you can see here that even though this baby's still very small, You can see its head's really well formed up here. She's moving her arm up while we're watching, and then down here is her rib cage, and her legs are kind of folded up over here.
I can't believe how fast 30 weeks has gone. We found out, I guess, at 5 weeks. I can't believe how fast the last 30 weeks have gone. It's like we just kept counting them down. And now I think we're down to 31 days. Now it's like day count.
She's just in there doing somersaults and flipping. So like just such a reassurance that she's healthy and everything else is going to be fine.
She could arrive at any moment and we'll be ready and be grateful.
At least the nursery is done. So if she comes, she's got a place, her own little safe haven to go to, and all of her clothes are washed up and it's her little space.
And it's out of times of difficulty that God works. It's in the midst of those kind of times that opportunities for the Lord to work happen, and we don't know what that may look like. It looked like that in this way for Brent and Christy. Doesn't mean it's going to look like that. It can look like all kinds of other stuff. It might not even turn out like the way that we want, but we can know that God's working in the midst of it, and there's always an opportunity for him to do something. And we can trust him and know that he knows what's best. And so this morning, just two quick things as we wrap up this part. Is there an area of life that you need to trust him more in? Is there some kind of difficulty, some hardship, maybe it's a persecution of type? This morning, I hope you are encouraged to know that you can trust in the Lord no matter what. That he is gracious and he is merciful and he loves you more than anything. And he demonstrated that as clear as can be as he sent his son Jesus to come so that he could bring you to God. My prayer is that you would taste and see, that you would experience the nearness and the goodness of our great God in your life like never before, because it'll change everything in your life. And secondly, are you being intentional about telling others about the saving grace of Jesus? Are you ready? Are you alert to those opportunities that he is giving you and placing all around you in your life? Are you taking advantage of them? And are you doing so with gentleness and humility? Are you doing so with gentleness and humility? And lastly, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he longs to for you to know his grace and mercy in your life, and he desires to welcome you into a loving relationship with him as your Lord and Savior. That's the glories of the gospel. That's what's so wonderful about it. And that's what we sang about over and over, that we are a lost people, that we are sinners in need of saving, and that Jesus is the one who that God sent because he loved us so much, so that anyone who placed their faith and hope in him could know true joy and peace and happiness and eternal life. And so this morning, if you don't have a relationship with him, I'd love just to invite you into that. And so let's just pray, let's bow our heads and close our time together here in this way. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for testimonies of you working in the midst of hard things. And Lord, this morning as we have this little bit of time to spend in your word, Lord, I believe that you're speaking to us. And I believe that we are here and that the words that you have for us right now are the ones that especially we need to hear right now. And so God, would you help us to apply your words to our hearts and to our lives. In your name we pray, amen. All right, well this morning we have the opportunity to close out our